Hello there, this is Benny.
And this is Kyle.
And you're listening to The Doctor's Watcher,
the life-size board game enthusiasts podcast about every episode of Doctor Who.
Okay, but legit, I love life-size board games.
Yeah, I've never actually played one, but it would be a lot of fun.
Oh, I mean, same, but like, you know, if you think about the concept, how can you not love it?
Seriously.
We encountered a life-size board game in our D&D game, I recall.
That's true, yeah.
In an area that was very much like this one. It was like an evil circus carnival type deal.
Uh-huh.
And we had to pass challenges. And there were clowns. I think there were clowns. Pretty sure there were clowns. Clown-like characters, at least.
Yeah, I probably didn't actually use clowns directly, but...
It was appreciated if you didn't. Well, the threat of clowns, if no actual clowns. All circuses come with the threat of clowns.
Yeah.
So, Kyle, we're recording this one right after the last one, but what else have you been up to besides playing Baldur's Gate?
Let's see. What have I been up to? I've actually been practicing magic recently.
Nice.
I don't think I've ever mentioned that on the pod before, but Benny knows that I sometimes do magic tricks, usually with playing cards.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
So
you've been doing them as long as I've known you, Kyle. I remember you doing them in college at your place when I went and visited you. So
nice.
It has been a long time hobby.
Yeah. I kind of like dip in and out of the hobby, and I was kind of not doing it for a long time, but I've been doing it recently.
Cool.
And yeah, I've got a couple tricks that I've been working on in the past month or two that are really cool. I don't think there's really any way to make good audio out of them. They kind of require the visual component. So
yeah, I would just be like, wow, Kyle, that was amazing. That was the card I was thinking of. Uh-huh. Listeners, you'll just have to take my word for it.
So yeah, that's kind of been my main thing other than video games at the moment.
Awesome. I dig it.
What have you been up to?
So my partner has been watching this anime called My Hero Academia, and I watched a bunch of episodes of the latest season with them, and it's like, it's so tropey. Like, if you've ever seen any anime aimed at teen boys, like Dragon Ball Z or Naruto or Bleach, or, you know, you get the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And you can probably guess what's coming a mile away for all these like various story beats and things, but I don't know, man, like still I can't help but get into it as I'm watching it, and it's like, man, nice. these kids with superpowers, that's kind of the story. They're really giving it their all, and oh man, haven't they been through enough? And their teachers, because there's like a superhero high school basically, their teachers care so much about these kids and try so hard to keep them out of trouble, but the kids have to fight like supervillains and like, I don't know. And the kids like care about each other, and they've all come together as a class, and blah, 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 blah. That's me crying. These brave, brave kids.
Nice. Yeah, I've never actually seen that, but I've heard at least a couple people talk about it on various different podcasts.
Yeah.
And they seem to like it a lot.
Yeah, it's one of those that a lot of people are watching.
Yeah.
It's popular.
Well, speaking of popular shows that a lot of people are watching.
How are you going to turn that into a segue?
Shall we talk about something that eventually led to one of those?
Yes, let's. Oh, you got me, Kyle. That was a good one.
So this is season 3, episode 33, The Final Test.
It sure is.
Which is the fourth episode of The Celestial Toymaker.
So, Kyle, I think I know the answer to this question, but hope springs eternal, because the previous three episodes of this serial were all lost, and they've all been reconstruction so far. But maybe there's always a chance. Kyle, how'd you watch it?
So this episode actually exists.
Hell yes! Sorry, that was loud. Hell yes.
So, you know, as an existing episode in an otherwise missing serial, those are often the hardest ones to actually find and watch.
Yeah, because BritBox only does them if they have the whole serial.
Right. This one is officially available on the Lost in Time DVD. There were probably other ways to watch it.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing you took one of those. Wink. You can't see me winking because I'm winking behind my eye patch.
So this episode was found in Australia in the spring of 1984.
Hell yes, I love these stories. Yes, this is my juice.
And Peter Purves, who of course plays Stephen, speculated that since the episode is called The Final Test, maybe they thought it was cricket and that was why they kept it in the vault.
Oh my God, I love it.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite stories yet.
We don't know if that's true or not. That's just Peter Purves' speculation, but it is 100% my headcanon.
Yes, headcanon accepted. I think my favorite story of how these were found is always going to be like the random like Mormon church that had them. And not even like, you know, contiguous episodes or something. I can't remember exactly how it went, but I just remember that it like didn't even make sense which ones they had. But this is a good one too.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
I love it. So given that you watched it, I was going to ask you what happens, but before then, maybe I should tell you what happened at the end of the last one.
Indeed, dangle us off that cliff.
Yes. All right. So Dodo and Steven are, going through these various like escape room, challenge room type things. They're moving at a pretty good pace while the doctor is playing his try something game.
Trilogic game is what they call it.
Trilogic, yes. I should say the doctor's hand is playing it because that's all that's left. We don't even hear his voice anymore. We got a clue for the next room, which was basically like something about you're going to need lady luck and you're either going to win or lose in this last one. Like it all comes down to this. So it sounds like this is going to be the final challenge. Well, it sounds like it's going to be the final test, in fact. And the big finale, I suspect, of our serial.
And just a quick reminder that the Trilogic game is that game where, like, you have concentrically smaller sized pieces that are in a stack and you have to, like, move them from one spot to the other spot, and it's like one piece at a time. Mm-hmm, you can't stack them on a piece that's smaller than they are, etc. And the size of the game that the doctor is playing is basically able to be solved in 1023 moves if you make no mistakes.
Yeah, and I think we were on either 700 or 800 something
last year. I think we were in the 800s.
Yeah, I think the Celestial Toymaker keeps jumping us ahead, which is interesting to think about, because then the doctor has to think about like what moves he would have done to get to that point.
Right.
Without actually having made them. So it's almost like more of a logic puzzle then.
Yeah, it not only reduces the time that Steven and Dodo have, but yeah, adds kind of an extra layer of difficulty for the doctor.
Very cool. All right, well, let's see if Lady Luck is on their side.
So, Cyril, the adult schoolboy.
No, I had almost forgotten about him.
He leads Stephen and Dodo to a room with a series of numbered raised triangles on the floor.
Cool.
And the triangles basically form a path that leads to a TARDIS. And he tells them that this is the next game, TARDIS Hopscotch.
Okay. Well, it sounds like it resembles hopscotch, but would you also say it resembles a board game?
I would say it resembles a board game even more than it resembles hopscotch.
Excellent.
The rules are basically that everybody gets a D6.
Nice.
And on your turn, you roll it. And the
All
number...
Right, so you're attacking with a short sword. All right, I'm with you so far.
The number that you roll appears on the dice indicator, which is basically a big rotating barber's pole looking thing with various different little panels on it that light up.
Cool. I'm into it.
And you move forward that number of spaces. You have to jump from triangle to triangle.
Okay.
And first one to the end wins.
Okay. Well, I'm guessing there's going to be more to it than that, but let's see.
Steven wonders, like, why you have to jump from triangle to triangle, and Cyril explains.
Well, you can walk if you like, but I shouldn't if I were you.
Why not?
Well, you see, all the area between the triangles is electric. You'll be killed.
Yeah, maybe we won't try that then.
Yeah. We cut back to the Toymaker's chambers, where he's telling the mostly invisible doctor, other than his hand, of course, that Steven and Dodo certainly won't win their next game.
Cyril hates to lose, so he makes sure that he never dies.
Well, we saw the clowns cheating earlier. Wonder what Cyril's got up his sleeves.
Yeah. We see the doctor's hand move a piece or two. He takes a couple of moves. And then the toy maker advances the doctor's game from move 905 to move 930 and tells him how much he's going to enjoy having the doctor and his friends as dolls in his dollhouse.
And the doctor's hand flips him off.
Totally.
Nice.
And since this episode exists, we can say for sure that we know that the doctor's hand flips him off.
I mean, for all we know, yeah, he's just been like flipping him off this whole time. Uh-huh. And we couldn't see it. He's just like moving the pieces with his middle finger.
Back at TARDIS Hopscotch, Cyril invokes the principle of ladies first. So Dodo takes the first move of the game. She rolls a 3 and moves from triangle 1 to triangle 4. Steven rolls a 4, so he moves up to triangle 5. And as soon as he gets there, we hear a buzzer noise and the go to 7 panel lights up on the dice indicator. So nice. He advances up to triangle 7.
All right. Well, so far so good. But also now we know that it's more than just rolling dice, but
yeah.
Sometimes he'll be moving forward and back. And I suspect Cyril's going to make that work for him. Work to his advantage.
Yeah. Cyril actually chooses this moment to reveal that if a player lands on a triangle that someone else is already on, that person has to go back to the start.
Oh, so that's why he wanted to go last.
And that's exactly what Steven says.
Now I see why you let us go first.
Steven and I are on the same page here. I don't think either of us likes Cyril very much.
Yeah, seriously.
Cyril, you're going to get your giant adult-sized head dunked in a toilet.
Cyril rolls a 2, so he only makes it up to triangle 3.
Okay. I really thought that he was just going to immediately end up on one of their triangles, or possibly both, by using this, like, light-up panel that tells you to move ahead. So at least he's not egregiously cheating right from the start.
Yeah, not yet. Dodo rolls a 3, which advances her to Triangle 7, which of course means that Steven has to head back to Triangle 1.
Dang it, Dodo.
They kind of protest a little bit about, like, oh, we're supposed to be working together. Surely we can't send each other back to the start. But, like, obviously, that's the rules of the game.
Yeah, it's not like Cyril's going to give you a break here.
Yeah. Dodo points out that, like, she and Steven basically have a 2-to-1 advantage over Cyril anyway, so it's only fair.
I think that's going to be the last time they say it's only fair in this game.
So Steven heads back to Triangle 1. As soon as he gets there, there's another buzzer noise, and this time the miss a turn panel lights up on the dice indicator.
Yeah, I had a feeling this type of thing was going to... It's not even his turn. This was from Dodo's turn still, right?
I guess he moved back to the start, and then it would have been his turn next.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't know. It was... I think the writer did kind of lose the thread of the game at some point in the episode.
Uh-huh.
Like, I think the turn order does get confused at some point.
Yeah, it's like sometimes it's we see mistakes happen and it's like, well, they couldn't reshoot the take because, you know, we always say the film was too expensive. But you'd think that they could at least double check the script.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they were also cranking these out fast, so who can say what was going on behind the scenes?
Yeah. So Cyril takes a turn. He rolls a 3, which brings him up to Triangle 6.
I'm still right behind you.
I don't like this guy. His vibes haven't gotten any better.
Yeah, they might have gotten worse even.
No. I mean, yes, but no.
Back at the doctor's game, his hand makes a few more moves as the toy maker decides to give him his voice back.
As you are certainly going to lose, I feel I should be kinder to you. You are no longer under the ban of silence. There. I have given you back your voice.
And William Hartnell's like, well, I guess I have to come back to the set then.
Uh-huh.
Whoever's been doing his, like, hand double roll.
Yeah.
Maybe keeps doing, I don't know. But anyway, a little more for William Hartnell to do.
William Hartnell's voice basically tells the toy maker that he's not going to break the doctor's concentration now, and the hand takes another move.
Cool.
We cut back to the TARDIS hopscotch game as Cyril completes his next turn. I think we didn't see Dodo's or Steven's next turns. It's a little bit confusing, but I think I pieced the game together.
Okay.
So Cyril is advancing onto Dodo's triangle, which is number 8 at this point. And he surprises her by wearing a gorilla mask.
Man, somebody needs to, like, give this guy a wedgie.
Yeah, seriously. Steven comes up to Triangle 8 to basically just yell at Cyril for a minute. And Cyril accuses Steven of cheating by leaving his triangle when it wasn't his turn. And tells him that he and Dodo both need to go back to the start. Steven because he was cheating and Dodo because Cyril landed on her triangle.
Cyril.
Steven's basically like, fuck this. I'm going to go see if this even is the real TARDIS, and, like, tries to advance, but he basically can only go, like, a triangle or two ahead before there's an invisible mime wall.
Oh, dang. All right.
An image of the toy maker appears and basically tells him that this invisible barrier only lets people who follow the fucking rules of the game through.
I mean, that didn't stop him from going up to Triangle 8 earlier, but sure, why not?
Yeah, maybe the barrier is like only at Triangle 10 or something.
You're very generous, Kyle.
So he and Dodo both head back to the start. Steven takes his turn next, even though I'm pretty sure it was actually Dodo's turn.
Yeah, after Cyril it would be.
Yeah. So, unless it's like sort of initiative rules, maybe. Like maybe he and Dodo have the same initiative so they can take their turns in either order.
Sure.
So he goes next. He rolls a 6, and this takes him up to Triangle 7.
Nice. You're listening to The Doctor's Watcher. If you enjoy our show, please leave us a 5-star review and tell a friend. We appreciate you, listener. You can reach us by tweeting at Dr. Watcher or emailing thedoctorswatcher@gmail.com. And now, back to the episode.
The toy maker complains to the doctor about the doctor not using the power of speech that the toy maker has returned to him.
Talk to me. I'm lonely.
The doctor's just like,
"You seem to say quite enough for both of us. In any case, I'm busy."
Oh, zing.
The toy maker says that he's playing too slowly, so he advances the game to move 1,000.
Only 23 moves to go. And look, your friend Stephen has had to miss a turn.
Oh, dang. Trying to remember what our ship here was. Our little, you know, very antagonistic kind of rivalry ship.
Toymaker
in the end for them.
Toymaker, I think it was.
Yeah, that works.
So this is true. We cut back to TARDIS Hopscotch, and the Miss a Turn panel has lit up again on the dice indicator. Steven grumbles and complains about this as Dodo rolls a 6 and moves from Triangle 4 up to Triangle 10. I think there were 14 triangles total. I didn't say that earlier.
Well, that's not too bad. Almost there then.
Mm-hmm. Cyril is on Triangle 11, and while Dodo moves, he basically secretly sprinkles some slippery powder on his triangle.
Someone needs to give this kid a wet willy.
His turn is next, and he rolls a 2, so he advances up to Triangle 13, which is almost the end.
Dang.
But as soon as he gets to 13, the buzzer sounds and the go-to 9 panel lights up.
Huh. I had just assumed that he was like somehow controlling these panels himself, but
that's kind of what I thought too, but yeah, it seems to be going against him now.
Well, it seems to be. Let's see what actually happens.
So he grumbles and complains and heads back to Triangle 9, and as soon as he gets there, he starts wailing, basically, as if he's injured.
Someone needs to give him some noogies.
Dodo hops from 10 over to 9 to help him, but of course he's faking, and he tells her that she has to go back to the start and miss a turn for leaving her triangle, which makes it his turn again. I guess we're just skipping Steven.
Well, he did have to miss a turn, so
yeah, I guess maybe this is the one he's missing.
Sure.
So Cyril rolls a 5. He's on 9, so this would actually get him to the end and win the game.
But he sprinkled that slippery stuff.
Uh-huh. So as he jumps onto 11, he totally slips off and gets his ass electrocuted on the floor.
His just desserts.
Hey!
triangles covered in slippery powder. He must have put this here himself and forgotten all about it. He's caught in his own trap. It serves him right.
Well said. Serves him right indeed.
Steven's basically just like, let's just head to the TARDIS. But Dodo's like, no, no, no. Gotta finish the game properly.
Is Cyril dead? Like, hold on.
Yeah.
Is the game still going?
Yeah, Cyril's dead, basically. Like, we see...
Oh, shit.
We see him, like, on the floor, and now it's, like, kind of a doll version of him, and it's totally just, like, charred and burned.
Well, rip.
So Dodo wants to finish the game properly. She's concerned that, like, you know, they need to, or it's not going to work right, or whatever.
Yeah, I'd probably do the same thing.
She's on Triangle 10, and she feels confident that she can roll a 4, and she does.
Nice.
So
she's good at this.
Uh-huh.
Way to roll that die.
She advances to 14. Steven follows behind, and, you know, they're standing outside the TARDIS. The Doctor is now fully visible.
William Hartnell's back.
He makes move 1022 in his game.
Okay, good. I was a little worried it was going to be like, oh, you thought you won, but then it cuts over to the Doctor and he like had already finished the game.
Uh-huh. No, he's on the second to last move.
Excellent.
And so he makes that move, and before making the final move, he turns on the monitor, and so then he can see that Steven and Dodo are standing outside of the TARDIS.
And then he flips the board and gives the Celestia Toymaker the double deuce.
Uh-huh. The Toymaker congratulates him on the three of them winning their games. He's being very gracious about the whole thing.
Does he do a sarcastic slow clap, though?
You know, he should. I don't think he did, but he really should have.
Missed opportunity.
The Doctor says that he's going to go see if the TARDIS is all right. So the Doctor rejoins Steven and Dodo. And as the three of them chat, the Toymaker appears on a monitor telling them that they must lose in the end.
Must they, though?
Uh-huh. The Doctor's like, fuck off, we won.
That's right.
But the Toymaker tells the young people to ask their elderly friend if he can win completely.
Huh. What does that mean?
Yeah, they have a pretty confusing conversation. But the gist of it seems to be that the Toymaker might be able to drag them down into despair and defeat unless they use cunning.
Okay. Well, we got one last challenge to overcome.
Uh-huh.
Gotta defeat the final boss.
The Toymaker appears in person. Steven goes and punches him, but this just hurts Steven's own arm.
Dang it. Well, person of action, though, you kind of have to.
Yeah.
He's using his mind to turn your strength against yourself. Now, go back into the TARDIS. I will deal with him.
Well, psychic-type Pokemon are strong against fighting.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I guess that's kind of a game, right? Same logic applies to the Toymaker's games.
So Steven and Dodo head into the TARDIS, as the Doctor said. The Toymaker offers the Doctor power, and the Doctor, of course, refuses, and then heads into the TARDIS himself.
That was easy.
Uh-huh.
Power? No thanks. Peace.
The Toymaker just, like, settles into his chair next to the Trilogic board and just kind of chills there for a minute until the Doctor comes back out of the TARDIS shouting at the Toymaker about what he did to it.
Hmm. I couldn't bear to let you leave, Doctor.
Uh-huh.
Says the Toymaker. with a intense but obsessed look in his eyes.
The toy maker basically explains that he didn't do anything to the TARDIS, but it's that the Trilogic game isn't finished, and the Doctor can't leave until it is.
Well, now the Doctor's regretting flipping that board.
The Doctor, I guess, realizes that when he completes the game and, like, officially wins, this whole place will vanish. And he and his companions and the TARDIS will all vanish along with it because, like, they're in the place.
That is the price of success. Make your last move, Doctor. Make your last move.
What if they tie a rope to the Doctor and and fire up the TARDIS, you know, get it started? And just as it's about to take off, they pull him in and disappear just as the place goes.
So that's not a bad idea, actually. The Doctor re-enters the TARDIS. He explains the situation to Dodo and Steven, which is, of course, that if he wins the Trilogic game, like, the three of them basically collectively win against the Toymaker, in which case the Toymaker's world will be destroyed along with them if they're outside the TARDIS when that happens. Which, of course, the Doctor would be, because it would happen, like, as he makes the final move of the game, basically.
I like that we're establishing that if we're inside the TARDIS, then we're safe.
It kind of contradicts what they said just a minute ago, which is that, like, the TARDIS would be destroyed with everything else in the world, but...
Well, maybe it would disappear, but I don't know.
Apparently, the toy maker himself will be fine when all this happens.
Oh, okay.
The Doctor says that he's immortal, and he has the power to build himself a new world... But
dang,
they can't.
I was hoping we'd never see the Celestial Toymaker again. And those of you keeping up with modern Doctor Who, I'm not. I'm just listening to Kyle tell me about William Hartnell. So who knows what happens in the future?
The Doctor has a conversation with the Toymaker over the TARDIS's loudspeaker, basically, where he asks the toy maker to, I guess, let him, like, take the Trilogic game inside of the TARDIS and finish it in there.
That's a thought.
The toy maker is just like, bullshit, you'll just set your TARDIS controls to dematerialize at the same time that my world vanishes, and then, like, you'll be fine.
I mean, yes, that probably was the plan.
Doctor's like, yeah, obviously that's what we're going to do, but, like, why do you give a shit? You're just going to build a new world anyway, either way.
The Celestial Toymaker's like, but it won't have you in it.
The Toymaker says,
of course, and I look forward to that. I'm bored with this one. But I'm a bad loser, Doctor. I always destroy the destroyer.
That's a pretty cool line, though.
Yeah, I liked that a lot. Inside the TARDIS, Steven offers to go make the final move of the game, but the Doctor won't let him, because, of course, like, then Steven would die. Steven's like, you know, what the fuck are we gonna do then?
We can't just stand here and talk our way out of this. We can. That's just it. That's just what we can do.
Oh, okay. Is it like one of those, you know, King's Knight to Queen's Bishop? I don't know how that chess thing works, but can you just tell somebody where you want to move?
So the Doctor, of course, is still inside the TARDIS, still speaking over the loudspeaker. He tells the Toymaker that he will make the last move, and that the Toymaker should go over next to the game board, which the Toymaker does, and as soon as the Toymaker is in place, the Doctor says,
Go to move 1023.
Nothing happens, and the toy maker starts to laugh, and then the doctor imitates the toy maker's voice.
Go from move
1023.
Master switch.
Okay, that's an interesting new trick.
Yeah. So Steven throws the TARDIS's switch as the final piece of the Trilogic game does levitate up and into place, and the TARDIS dematerializes as the whole place explodes.
Oh, it actually explodes?
Yeah.
Nice.
The Doctor explains to Dodo and Steven what happened, basically, and how, like, the toy maker would command the game to advance to a certain move number. But he reminds them that the toy maker himself is indestructible.
But you defeated him!
Yes, just at this moment, but there will be other meetings in an other time.
Like maybe in not quite 60 years, and maybe portrayed by Neil Patrick Harris.
That's very specific, Doctor.
They decide to celebrate the fact that they won the games. So Dodo pulls out the bag of sweets that Cyril had given her.
Oh boy, what disgusting thing is going to be in there.
Yeah, seriously. Steven basically tells her to just get rid of them.
Yeah, thank you, Steven.
But the Doctor is curious about what he calls the last present from the toy maker.
Aww.
So he takes one out of the bag, unwraps it, pops it into his mouth, but as he bites down, he shouts out in pain.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we knew it would be something like that.
Yeah. As Dodo asks him what's wrong, the words, "next episode, holiday for the Doctor," appear on screen.
Like he just had a holiday.
Yeah, he was kind of on holiday for a lot of the serial.
Is it like he chipped a tooth, so now he has to go on holiday?
Maybe like William Hartnell was actually shouting out in pain, biting down on that thing, and then they're like, shit, how do we write that into the next episode?
Nah, I'm guessing it was Cyril up to his usual tricks. Well, cool. All right, Kyle. This was an interesting serial. Interesting episode to end an interesting serial. So why don't you tell us? Why don't you tell our beloved listeners? We value their time. Would you recommend The Celestial Toymaker?
This is a hard one to answer that question for, honestly. I would say, on the one hand, Michael Gough does a great performance as the toy maker. He's, you know, a good classic actor. Some of the sets and costumes are pretty fun. And, you know, it's possible that the toy maker might make a reappearance in New Who in an episode that I personally am only like two or three episodes away from, but haven't quite seen yet.
It's possible.
It's possible. Who knows, but maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, it can be a bit tedious at times. And one episode does include a racial slur.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it was in passing and not directed at anyone in particular, but it was still there.
Uh-huh.
I actually read online that the word celestial in the name of this serial and the name of the first episode could itself potentially have been a slur referring to Chinese people.
Huh. Okay, I wasn't aware of that. But
yeah, I hadn't heard of that before I read it.
It's and good to know that it's potentially not great.
The thing I read was also like, but you know, it also means like from space. So toy makers from space.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the fact that he's wearing like this pseudo Chinese outfit kind of isn't great.
And it's
I mean, regardless of how the word was used, having this white guy, bad guy, kind of a mastermind type figure wearing Chinese-esque clothing is just, you know, harkening back to Fu Manchu and all these, like, you know, stereotypical East Asian villains.
Yeah, that definitely didn't feel great. Only one of the four episodes of the serial actually exists.
Yeah.
But honestly, that's not really that much of a point against this serial in particular, because the Loose Cannon Reconstruction team had access to such an extensive collection of photographs of the serial. So I feel like, you know, there are definitely some parts like the dancing and stuff that we were missing for not seeing the real thing. But I feel like overall we didn't miss that much.
Okay, yeah.
Ultimately, I think I would say that this wasn't like that interesting of a serial to watch, so it's probably one that can be missed pretty easily.
Yeah. Or maybe just watch the last one, because that's the only one that exists.
Yeah.
You can enjoy Cyril and his antics.
Enjoy being in scare quotes there.
Yes. Oh, cool. All right. Thanks, Kyle. That was a fun serial. Yeah, maybe not perfect. It did have clowns. And the racial slur, which is even worse, significantly, obviously. Did you have any other notes for us before we wrap it up?
Yeah, so I have two final notes on this serial.
Cool.
My first one is that they actually thought about getting rid of William Hartnell during this serial.
Oh, dang.
I guess the plan basically would have been for a different actor to be portraying him in the fourth episode when he gets his voice and body back, basically.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. It's like he disappears and then reappears and, whoop, well, that Celestial Toymaker, he made you look different.
Uh-huh, yeah, something like that. Of course, William Hartnell at this point was having a harder and harder time doing his job, basically, for mostly health-related reasons.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess they decided to not get rid of him at this serial. I think my understanding was that, like, his contract was running out, and so, like, it would have run out during this serial, but then they renewed it for however much longer.
Matilda has opinions about that.
Uh-huh.
I saw the door open behind you, and her fluffy tail was just barely visible at the bottom of the screen. She ran inside to come say hi.
Come say hi and scratch on the carpet.
Oh, very important. Yeah, I was wondering, I mean, I guess I had kind of assumed that the whole doctor turning invisible thing was a way for him to be able to read his lines from somewhere off screen so that he could have his script in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I know he was having trouble remembering his lines.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure his lines, while he was invisible, weren't even read live. Like, he pre-recorded them.
Yeah, that would make sense.
And the hand, when it's just his hand visible, was definitely not William Hartnell's hand.
Mm-hmm.
I don't say definitely because it was like visually obvious. I say definitely because I read online that it was not, so I know for sure that it was not.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's always such a shame watching these later episodes of The First Doctor, knowing that this is kind of a visual record of the decline in health of William Hartnell.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely a little bit sad to watch.
Yeah. Well, they kept him around, so we got him for another serial at least.
Mm-hmm.
Because of course we know that there are, despite the gag, you know, the bit that we don't know what's coming. We know there are more doctors on the way, but indeed, for the time being, we're still in the first doctor era, and we'll see what's next when the doctor goes on holiday.
My other final note.
Oh, sorry, I thought that those were both the notes.
No, that was all one note.
Okay. Sorry.
So my other final note is just that Peter Purves apparently kept the Trilogic game prop.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's fun.
I'm going to have a follow-up note on this in a few serials. So that's a little teaser. For now, the note is just that, like, he thought it was cool, so he kept it.
Interesting. All right. Well, I will have a good time speculating on how that might come up later. I mean, I guess the most obvious thing is they could have like a callback to it where Steven busts out the Trilogic board later on. Although I guess they don't actually have it. They don't. Our heroes don't have it. So, because it presumably exploded with the rest.
Yeah, it got blown up.
Toy maker stuff. Cool. Well, I'll be curious to see how that comes up. All right. Well, we'd like to thank Circuit 23 for the awesome theme song that he made for us. You can find him on Bandcamp and SoundCloud and email him at circuit.23@gmail.com. And thank you, Kyle, for watching Doctor Who and telling me all about it.
And thank you, Benny, for listening to me talk all about Doctor Who.
And thank you, listeners, for listening to me listen to Kyle talk about Doctor Who. If you have any thoughts you'd like to share for us, or any questions or feedback or anything that you want to tell us at all, you can always email us at thedoctorswatcher@gmail.com. And don't forget to leave us a 5-star review and tell a friend.
Indeed.
And then we'll see you in 2 weeks for a holiday.
Yeah, if you're not on holiday in 2 weeks, then come listen to our podcast.
Bye.
If I lose, the doctor and I go down together. Isn't that so, Doctor?
Now, don't start red herrings, you charlatan.
Go on, young people. Go on, ask your elderly friend if he can win completely.
Is this true, Doctor? Are we bound to fail?
No, my dear boy. He's just tricking us into despair. Take no notice of him.
Tell them the truth, Doctor. Hide nothing.
You must tell us. We ought to know.
Well, I am compelled to tell the truth. It is possible that the toy maker can drag us down in defeat with him, unless...
Unless what?
Well, it's all very simple. It's a matter of the battle of our brains.
Well, do we have a chance to escape?
Yes, we still have a chance, but we must proceed with cunning.
An impossible chance.
Look, as long as we defeat you, that's all I care. You can't beat us now.
We shall see.
Well said, my boy. Well said.